Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to our discussion exploring international growth. Because we all know that expanding internationally is a huge opportunity. New markets, diversified revenue, global recognition, it's the dream. But the reality, it's not as simple as copying and pasting your domestic strategy and cookie cuttering it out all over the world. The tension between global consistency and local relevance is real. And plus, of course, today there's AI, there's evolving privacy laws, there's a fragmented media landscape, there's changing consumer behavior. So there's a whole world to navigate. And so today we're diving deep into the landscape and the opportunity, exploring the really clear opportunities that international expansion brings, but crucially, making actionable. How can you actually do it with your business, your brands, your partners? And so we'll be hearing from brands and agencies who've cracked the code, and the agency that's mastered the art of helping their clients succeed on the global stage. So I'm David Black, I'm Senior Director for Google in the UK, and I am delighted to be joined by Tom Byrne, with a 20-year career spanning agency growth, leadership, and strategic M&A. Tom started as employee number 8 at Periscopics, incredible, and grew it into one of the UK's largest independent agencies before it was acquired by Merkle. Then as EMEA's EVP of Agency Services, he grew the team to 450 people across EMEA before the agency was sold to Dentsu. And then joined Jellyfish as EVP, responsible for leading growth through partnerships, and now entering his third year as CEO of Rocket Mill. He's grown the business 79%, nearly 80%.
I've got a goal.
Very clear goal. And so big welcome to Tom. And so Dominic Trainer's head of digital marketing with over 30 years experience in agency and client role, specializing in digital data-driven communications across a variety of sectors, from FMCG to telecoms to asset management, and is global head of digital experience at BNY Mellon. Huge welcome to Dom.
Thanks.
Rebecca McKinley is MD of Oyster Catchers, having joined the business in April this year, with an incredible career spanning an eye-watering variety of roles from advertising to communications to media, with huge creative and strategic roles at the FT, The Economist, and leading global teams at WPP2. She's also an executive coach and known for her ability to develop high-performing teams and lead them through change. And finally, and critically, last year, Becky won the Adweek Future is Female Award. A huge welcome to Becky. And so let's dive into it. So to set the scene, we know that global is a huge opportunity. Geopolitically, there's global trade is growing at 3.5% year on year. Economically, things are stabilizing. GDP's growing globally at 2.9% year on year. Consumer confidence has been rising. And so the global opportunity is huge. And then technology is accelerating, as I know well from my role at Google, at an incredible pace, with AI being a 300 billion global market already. And of course, that's changing consumer behavior too. So I thought we'd turn first maybe to Becky to start to unpack this. And so those are the big trends. How's that impacting marketing? Where are we today?
Thank you, David. I would say in many ways, this is the same question that we've been wrestling with for a while, the global versus local, centralized versus decoupled. You know, for clients, for brands, the key questions remain the same. How am I going to balance efficiency, brand control, shared learnings, and relevant applications in local markets? And speed remains critical, and tech and AI undoubtedly are going to help in that area. What we are seeing in this sort of position, advising brands and helping agencies, is a real drive to integration. So bringing that creative production and media together again. Now, we've seen that in the past. It's happening again with real velocity, and that is due to that media fragmentation. Greater need for speed and control than maybe an advertising first approach would allow. So, for us, we are seeing more demand for support on ways of working and commercial models than simply on landscaping and running pitches. And I think that's good news for agencies and that's good news for clients, right? How do we wrestle with this? How do we make it better rather than trying to kind of reinvent the wheel again? So the other thing I'd just say on that from, you know, brand's point of view, managing that local nuance is so important. You know, that universal application globally, how are we going to manage that nuance? And, you know, I think agencies can really help clients with that by deploying, you know, the tech and concentrating maybe more on that authenticity and relevance than historically on the reach itself.
Mm. So getting the strategy right, but also getting the ways of working and the kind of partnerships right to do it.
Exactly.
And so maybe turning next to Dom then. So there's obviously huge complexity but also opportunity, and I know Outly recently published a report saying 44% of scale-ups were looking to expand this year, and so what do you see the opportunity as being?
I agree with Becky in terms of some of the challenges and opportunities with thinking even about scaling up. So if I think of our organization and where we're positioned, so we're a big global organization, we operate in, you know, globally in, you know, multiple markets, we have various different types of clients. It is quite complex if you put everything down on paper. And actually, for us, it's not do we want to spend more, it's how are we smart with how we spend the money. And this is a really interesting discussion we're just about to have, because for us, we're on a journey in terms of how we develop our, and I'd change global to centralized model to deliver against kind of a global reach. And at the same time, not taking our eye off of what is required in local markets. Mm. And to Becky's point, there's some cultural changes that we need to make in terms of how we operate. But actually, we're committed to that central model, which enables us to have that global reach. So in answer to your question, I think there are huge opportunities, because actually, if you're to be smarter with how you actually target and reach people, and then engage with them, then, you know, the opportunities are enormous. Mm. From an efficiency perspective, it's huge, because actually you're just spending your pounds and dollars in a more efficient and effective way. But as a long-term strategy, you start to develop more of those relationships with people that you are reaching and engaging with, which is fundamental to our business.
So being really sort of thoughtful about what do you centralize,
yes,
what do you localize, and how do you kind of get the best of both worlds, get the benefit of the efficient scale,
yes,
but also the kind of understanding of market.
That sounds easy, right?
Right.
It's incredibly complex, but absolutely, you know, you've said exactly what we're on a journey to achieve.
Well, let's maybe then on getting into the kind of how of that then, maybe let's bring in Tom now then, because obviously tech and data are at the heart of doing that well. And so how can marketers use data and technology to grow internationally?
Yeah, I think that to build on what Dom said, there's a lot of confusion. The fragmentation of the market creates a lot of confusion, and people, I think there's a lot of distraction around, like, AI, we're at sort of peak hype cycle. You can't attend a session here where someone doesn't sort of shoehorn it in. Trying to look at some of the governing principles that we think about is that if it governs process, it should be managed centrally. If it governs people, it should be managed locally. And so the role of the agency is starting to simplify and prioritize what are the key things that a brand needs to look at a global, regional, or local level. Because when I think of data and technology, like we don't really talk about data very much anymore. We talk about insights. And so data is the input, insights are the output. And there are evergreen insights around consumer behavior that will apply globally. But if you're activating in Hong Kong versus activating in New York, the consumer experience, which is what we're trying to service, is very, very different in those two different places. And so how can I look at the pooled wisdom globally? And that's where technology plays an important role, because what we're seeing is that the role of technology is about unifying a perspective globally and starting to bring some universal truth. And in a fragmented reality, how you look at it, there are lots of different truths. Like how you cut the data, you can, statistics, lies, damn lies, and statistics. I can tell any story with a data set we want to tell if we cherry pick the data. The reality is getting alignment across the global organization for someone like Bank of New York Mellon to say, okay, we're going to look at a universal truth, and that is a counterpoint against which we can start to progress and optimize. That is a unifying thing. And so to Becky's point, it is about integration. And technology is a way of integrating people. People turn technology into value.
The technology is the enabler, but really humans are at the heart of it.
It's always about people. That's why we don't need to be scared about AI, because it's about people.
Right.
Can I build on Tom's point?
Yeah.
So experiencing it on the client side and working with Rocket Mill, our media agency, actually it's really important that this concept of storytelling and having the right narrative. So the data and the insights enables you to do that, to tell that story. And there is a tension between the short-term reality of delivering against an attribution model, your media spend, you know, what am I getting today? What has it led to? You know, what's today's story? Versus what is the narrative that enables you to be smarter and better and build a transformation around how you go to market and how you do things much, much better, which enables us to use the AI and other kind of targeting techniques that, that Rocket Mill can help us deploy.
But you don't need to test, sorry, Becky.
You
don't need to test big. Like, you can test really small, prove it, build a business case, bring the business on the journey. And so generally it's trying to get, if you're in a large organization, it's convincing the organization that it needs to move from, say, a channel-centric approach where we're looking at social to an ecosystem-centric approach where we're looking at this need state of consumer behavior. Like, test it small, rationalize, prove the model, and then expand. And so technology and the cadence at which Becky was talking about means that you can prototype this stuff and you don't have to amplify your failures. You can just learn from them really, really small and amplify your successes.
Yeah, let's bring Becky in.
No, well, I was just going to, building on that, Ria, that's, I think, why we're seeing brand and performance converging and having to, this integration is so important, because we know that the most effective campaigns do exactly that, the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
And you can't pull one.
There's a book in that.
Without the other.
That's great. Well, maybe let's double click a bit on the BNY Mellon experience as well. So tell us a bit about your experience expanding your brands globally, and have you seen those challenges kind of come to life, and what did you learn along the way?
Yeah, and you know, I joked about it being sounding easy, but it is incredibly complex for an organization like ours. So we operate, you know, we have a reach globally, but that doesn't really cover the complexity. The complexity is we have different businesses and propositions that we're going to market with. And there's a regulatory consideration with that. There are similar clients that we have working across the different lines of business, and how we operate internally doesn't make it simple to think about our challenge holistically. Mm-hmm. So if I think of the journey we're on, it's about actually turning the complex into something far simpler. So centralizing is really key to us. So centralizing our approach is key, but it doesn't mean that we can't work with a marketing manager in Italy on his or her particular strategy and to enable us to reach a particular target. It just means that actually we just need to think holistically. That's the planning stage. It's about execution. And I think the stage that we're at is, you know, it's fair to say we're at the start of a journey. Mm-hmm. So bringing everything together, we've done. In terms of going to market, we're just testing different techniques at the moment, whether it be hyper-targeting and other kind of innovative ways of reaching audiences around, say, an event in one country. Or it could be also servicing some of the demand generation campaigns that we have. Mm-hmm. So the way we're doing it is running some parallel tracks. It means that we can continue to go to market and deliver against what we need and the business needs today, but it's about that long-term transformation.
Yeah.
And that's harder to sell to people that, you know, within the business that just need stuff done. Mm-hmm. So I'd say our tension is about the short versus the long-term. And I think the fundamental part of that, and Tom kind of alluded to it, is having a really strong insights engine, the ability to have data to enable you to make that progress. Because people need to have results, but they also need to understand, you know, how we develop and get better and smarter. So that's where we are in our kind of complex journey of transformation.
And maybe Becky, you could help to maybe unpack some of those tensions, the long and the short of it. the centralization and kind of global consistency versus local nuance? What have you seen work and what have you learned along the way?
Well, I think there's lots of learnings, right? You go too far one way and you trip yourself up. You go too far the other way and you trip yourself, you know, and you slow yourself down. From a past kind of client point of view, I think that the centralization is the right way to look at those core functions, right? But it is, what is the connective fluid into the local markets, into the local agencies? How can agencies help clients get that right, even when there aren't boots on the ground, right? And that's the opportunity for tech or partnerships to enable that, because you know, you've got brands with a central message who are in completely different life stages and completely different markets, right? One might be losing market share, one might be dominant. You know, every client wants to be seeing as little creative deviation as they can from a kind of consistent brand message. It simply can't be applied. So I think that's the tension, you know, is how far do you pull one and when do you know to let go and readjust? And I think that real partnership between clients and agencies is really the only way that we can solve that. And if one is working faster than the other, if one is using different feedback loops, measurement systems, it all falls down.
Maybe just going a bit deeper on that before I come to Tom as well, it's just, how do you do that in a way that's right for your brand? Or right for the client that you're working with on it? What are the sort of signals and signs that you...
Well, I'm not sure there is an exact science there because every brand is different. Every brand is at a different level of maturity and every requirement is entirely different. So, I mean, I might actually just turn that back here and see if there's answers either from Dom or Tom on that.
How do you balance the different speeds and maturity?
Yeah.
I think it is... It is complex. I think you've outlined the challenge. It's not an easy fix. I would say that I come back to this, having a strong narrative and a strong story to be able to translate what you're seeing today into something that is relevant to people at that different stage of maturity. Yeah. So we've got different markets doing different things.
Yeah.
And we're constantly trying to, bring everyone together in terms of that continued understanding about what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And actually some do want to jump straight into, I mentioned earlier, hyper-targeting, and others want to actually be a little bit more conservative and traditional. The win is how we learn quicker, we learn together. And I think that's the benefit in terms of bringing it together.
Let's test, learn, scale to figure out what's right for you.
Yes.
And maybe let's bring in Tom then to really understand the role of partners in this as well, because that keeps coming up through the discussion. Because it's for so many clients in the room, there'll be different kind of perspectives on this. Have you seen the kind of the skills and partnerships work? And how do you look at building the right opportunities in this area as an agency?
I think the role of an agency, I'm going to contradict myself. I think AI is rapidly changing the role of an agent from an agency where their value is intrinsically based in activation, like deep platform expertise. Google is increasingly injecting AI into the platforms to take away some of the optimization that agencies used to be able to create competitive advantage doing. And so they're moving from value in activation to value in ideation. And that ideation comes back to a consistent strategy, a consistent measurement framework. And to your point, my answer to your question is, if you build a consistent measurement framework and you use leading indicators to long-term value, you serve the short-term agenda towards a long-term value. The reality is that getting to this universally held truth is a vehicle for alignment. It's about getting everyone on the same page, working in the same way to the same agenda. And that starts to merge BNY Mellon's team with the Rocket Mill team, because it's very transparent. Like, we all know what the outputs that we're creating are, what the failures everyone sees. Like, it's not, I think the agency in the past was trying to be perfect, whereas what we're trying to be is a partner. And so we share our successes, we share our failures, and we collectively move forward. And the third layer is, I mean, it sounds really boring, but it's frameworking. Mm-hmm. And it's about consistent process, because the more we want to use technology, technology requires consistent inputs. And so for us to look at universally held wisdom and start to understand trends and behaviors that transcend habitats, and what I mean by that is different countries. Like, the habitat in a country is very different, the marketing habitat is very different, but what are the universal truths that a brand can take to say, okay, we're perceived in this way, people like this about us, these types of marketing activities work, we need to structure consistency. And so the role of an agency is about simplifying, moving on the journey, but it has to come from consistent measurement, consistent and connected measurement, a consistently evolving strategy that everyone works back to, and then consistent frameworking so that when we operationalize, we do so in a way that is repeatable. And we are always a student of history, so we don't repeat it.
They say history doesn't repeat itself, but it does often rhyme.
Yes.
And kind of understanding what have you learned along the way, I think also really always helps in this.
And I think Becky hit the nail on the head in that markets are at different stages.
Right.
And so Italy might be 3 years behind the UK in terms of the evolution of the media industry. It might be 2 years ahead of Singapore in terms of marketing maturity for BNY Mellon. And so, like, we see these different stages emerge. We see different stages of consumer behavior based on age cohorts. Mm-hmm. Right? The way that they interact with media is very, very different. And so these patterns start to emerge. And to bring it back, where the role of AI can be really helpful is that it's good at pattern recognition. And so it can start to say, okay, let's take the sound out of the noise and say, this is the important stuff, this is the patterns that are emerging, and this is how they can be used to create evergreen value or to de-risk what you're doing in the future, because this market was at this stage, these things were successful, these things failed. But that only happens if you've got some frameworking so that you can condense the wisdom into a repeatable form.
Let's make it kind of really clear. I'm going to come to the audience for any questions in a second, so get ready with your questions, and our friends with the mics, get ready with your mics. But first, I just want to pick up on that theme of AI, if either of you wants to come in. What is the role that AI plays in this, and what are your tips for helping to make the most of that opportunity?
I mean, AI is going to help with speed, right?
Yep.
It is going to reduce some of the manual processes or kind of labored processes that we have had, but the human element cannot be divorced from that, right? It is that the application of AI through brilliant strategic brains and strong working relationships is what makes the difference.
Right.
Simple for me.
I agree with that.
AI as a tool to help humans to test and learn and scale faster, I think is exactly what it's about. So raise a hand if you have a question in the room. Let's have a look. Right at the back. If somebody can get a microphone, just to give our team exercise. Let us know who you are and what you do and your question.
Come forward, hiding in the bushes over there. Hi, my name is Junior, and I'm the co-founder of SocialPro. SocialPro is this AI software that analyzes trends in your niche on TikTok and Instagram, and then creates for you a strategy personalized to your target audience and what's working right now in your niche, right? It's called SocialPro AI. Now, my question is, because I've spoken to many agencies, I've of course been offering our solution to some of them, and they've said, our clients don't like AI, so I'm not gonna engage in this any further. But of course, this whole talk is very there's a lot about AI within this. So how do you go about convincing your partners, the clients, in terms of your use of AI and how it's going to benefit the campaigns you're doing with them?
It's a great question. Who wants to come in on that?
Should I approach it from the client perspective? I mean, AI is scary for an organization like ours, where we work in financial services, we're highly regulated, we're very conservative on one level, but, you know, there's an unbelievable kind of interest and progressive approach to AI. So we have a lot of different ways in which we're thinking about AI. So I think AI sometimes, and Tom kind of mentioned it earlier, it feels like it's scary as soon as you say AI, but the reality is, what is it that you're trying to do? How do you believe that actually a different and effective way can progress you? So we would lean into definitely, you know, in this case, RocketMill partners specifically around that application. But actually, as a client and a conservative one, and I probably don't represent all of the clients in the room that are maybe in less conservative sectors. It's not actually that scary. if we think about it in terms of the application. It's about the application now and ensuring that you have the expertise that helps you, you know, think about it in those terms. So I think we've progressed. So if we've progressed, I'm sure others have too.
So would you say there's an educational element part of that? Sorry.
Anybody else want to come in on that?
I'll come in a bit. So I think the simple answer is, in a lot of cases, you don't tell them, right? And so AI, it's right, you're safe.
This is being recorded. I might watch this back.
Our panelists are finding out things live on stage, which is exciting.
I think there's two buckets you use AI in. You use AI to increase value over time, right? In that ultimately, however clients are paying an agency, they're paying for capability and time. And so if we can deliver more value over time by removing some of the repetitive tasks within the agency that don't really touch the client, let's do that, right? That's a good way of getting time over value. The other camp is, where do you use AI to create competitive advantage? And I think that's where you get the middle of the Venn diagram, in that if you foster a culture in an agency which has curiosity, which has creativity and has confidence, AI gives you mental availability. And so you get more innovation because people are liberated from dull, repetitive tasks. Mm. And that does translate to competitive advantage. The other side is we provide a security framework in that all of the AI, we have a sort of a dev team in our agency. I know she's shutting me up. And essentially everything we do is wrapped within a governance framework that our team are developing single AI applications that we then universally apply across the agency. But the UI is a rocket mill UI. Most of the internal team don't know they're using AI. What it is lots and lots of point solutions, but we have a very strong governance framework at the central level in order to make sure that we're controlling privacy, we have a governance, we're controlling cost. And then the outputs are time over value or individual tasks that are creating competitive advantage.
That's great. So we're nearly on time. So in a sentence, we're going to leave everybody with a tip for scaling their business internationally. And so what would be your piece of advice to leave everybody with? Maybe we'll go first to Rebecca.
Pace and grace.
Go fast.
So move fast, but really sweat the detail.
Dom?
Similar but slightly different. You have to give yourself time to get it right. So short-term and long-term goals. So don't take your eye off the long-term goal, but adjust as you go. So short and long-term tracks.
And Tom?
If it involves strategy, measurement, or process, govern centrally. It involves people, govern locally.
And mine is test and learn and scale and then loop fast and iterate. Thank you so much for joining us, and a big thank you to our panelists.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.